recorded live.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio broadcast. And as always, we dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the great I Am. We also dedicate it to His holy remnant, the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Today is the third day of February, year 2013, and we've entitled today's program Colonel de Grand Pré. And of course, that's referring to Colonel Don de Grand Pré, who was the author of several books, of which I have three of his books on my shelf. The first book that I was made aware of was when he drafted and produced Barbarians Inside the Gates, the Black Book of Bolshevism, and book one was entitled The Serpent's Sting. There's a tribute to Colonel de Grand Pré on the back, and by the way, de Grand Pré is a French last name, basically saying of the great or large prayer. How they mean it as a colloquialism, I'm not sure, but again, it's a French title. Let me go back to the board here and make sure everything's flowing okay. Okay, no new people there, let's see. Bubby says it's 22 degrees cloudy in Albany, New York this morning, so we're not going to tell you what it's like down here in South Florida. Yeah, you'd hate us then, okay. All right, we're going to get into Colonel de Grand Pré here in just a minute, but first, I had a request sent to me by one of our listeners overseas in England that we talk a few minutes about Joshua chapter 9 because of what the Israelites did. Specifically in verse 14 of chapter 9, it says, the men sampled their provisions. Now, their provisions are the enemies of the Israelites who had tricked them into thinking they had come from a far country. So the men sampled their provisions and found out that the meat and bread and stuff was moldy and everything else. Their clothes looked disheveled, etc., to make it look as if they had traveled from a very far away, when indeed they had not. They were actually their neighbors. And they were the people that Yahweh had commanded that they be destroyed. But the men sampled their provisions, they fell for the ruse, and then they did not ask counsel. In this version of the Bible here, it says, did not ask counsel from the mouth of Yahweh. And if you look into that, they're referring to the Urim and Thummim, which many people and most scholars today are not 100% sure what they were. But you could equate them to royal dice, if you will. It was devices that the high priest would use when he was not sure of a matter, and he would ask a blessing over the Urim and Thummim, and he would cast them and make a decision based on that. So a little bit like throwing a pair of dice, and then based on the outcome, making a judgment. So here the Israelites were in a predicament. They had been fooled by these foreigners who came in amongst them and pretended to be something they weren't. What's that? That sounds familiar to you? It's called hypocrisy. What does Luke chapter 12 tell us about hypocrisy? It's one of the signs of what? The Pharisees. So even in the day of Joshua and the men of Israel, who are our ancestors, even in that day, so it is today. We have imposters who walk amongst us. Sheep, wolves in sheep's clothing who appear on the outside to be one of us, but on the inside are something quite different. So in their day, they had the same thing going on. So verse 15 tells us that Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant to let them live. And the princes or leaders of the congregation swore to them and made an oath to them that said that they could live. Well, later on, when they found out that they had lied to them, the Israelites were beholden to honor the oath, and so they had to let these enemies of God and of their people live because of their oath. They did not want to have judgment come upon them for breaking an oath. But it shows the poor judgment of the Israelites of that day, because they went and made a very important decision without seeking the counsel of our Heavenly Father. The scripture makes it quite clear that he's to be a part of everything we do, from the time we get up to the time we go to bed. Doesn't it say, upon rising, give glory to God and be thankful for his blessings upon you, and upon resting in the evening, going to bed, you do the same thing. Thank him for the day that you just had and for your blessings and the fact that Yahweh is in your life and that you are one of his children. So the Israelites were a bit pretentious in assuming that the signs were showing that these people were being honest with them, when they didn't realize that they were dealing with cunning and crafty people. It's much the same today. We have the media, with all kinds of electronic media and video media, whether it's on tablets, iPods, television, movie screens, etc. It's all the image of the beast. You read in the book of Revelation, it talks about the image of the beast. And what's one of the signs of the image of the beast? It can make a man appear alive though he were dead. That's one of the signs. Well, what can do that? It wasn't all that long ago, the movie industry was bragging about the fact that even though Bruce Lee had died, the movie he was in was finished with him in it. And how did they do that? Because they had a double and they could put Bruce Lee's image on top of the double and make it appear as if Bruce Lee was indeed in the movie in the final scenes, even though he had died. And since then, they've done that with many other movies and actors and actresses. Though they were dead, they appear in the movies. So you have a clear sign of what the image of the beast is. It's a way to manipulate images and make things appear as they are not. It's another form of what? Hypocrisy. So just as our Israelite brethren in the days of Joshua had to deal with these issues, so do you today. It's just different forms, that's all. Back then, they could pull a ruse like this off by just wearing some shoddy clothing and beat-up shoes and throw some moldy bread into some old leather sacks, and they pulled off the stunt of being foreigners traveling from a far distance. Today, it's a little more sophisticated because you have to hire image and graphics experts and have access to the media. And of course, the media today is controlled by a very small group of people, all of the same clan, by the way. So the ability to deceive millions upon millions of people is much greater today than it was in those days. So their ruse only had to fool the princes. Today, they fool millions upon millions of people with the images that they create. Adamite here has Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of Yahweh, talking about the Urim and Thummim, the casting of lots, so to speak, in order to figure out what Yahweh's will for our people is. And a lot of people might think that that's kind of hokey or whatever, but it's just like the TV commercial now. It says it's not weird if it works. And that's talking about football and some people's superstitions. But if it works, you know, it's not weird. So, and it worked for the Israelites because everything in their life was guided by the Father. And that's what a lot of people don't seem to understand, or a lot of people don't seem to remember. And when we go away from that guiding is when we get in trouble. So Joshua chapter 9's warning to us is don't be deceived by what appears to be the obvious. And same thing could be applied to modern day news media and many of the things you see on television. Just as in the case of the Sandy Hook shooting. Okay, the image is that a deranged, drug-induced individual went in there and killed those people, when in fact we know the evidence is already coming out that there were more than one people involved, that the odds are that Lanza himself didn't do anything. He, however, was the boy who was thrown under the bus to take the blame for it. Isn't it funny, every time they have one, not every time, but many times that they have these kind of events happen, the perpetrator somehow always ends up dead. How convenient. There's no trial, there's no chance to cross-examine, etc. I mean, you can go all the way back to Jack Ruby killing Lee Harvey Oswald. That pretty much ends the ability to get at what he was saying, because Lee Harvey Oswald said he was a dupe and a patsy and being set up. Well, after he got shot and killed by Jack Ruby, that just ended that, didn't it? Same thing with Timothy McVeigh. Very, very quickly done away with, disposed of, so that we don't have a chance to do any further investigation. The same thing happened at Oklahoma City when the building was destroyed, and the same thing with the Twin Towers in New York City. Very shortly after the incidents, the evidence is scooped up and buried or turned into some other material, destroying criminal evidence. Now, for instance, the Oklahoma City building was one of the very first times anything of that size and magnitude had been done, quote, in the name of terror in the United States. And yet the evidence was taken to a landfill very, very quickly, even though the builder, the architect who designed the building, said that building could have been easily repaired and put back in service, but they destroyed it. Well, why is that? Because they couldn't take the chance of the truth coming out about the fact it was a inside job demolition and not a fertilizer truck. I mean, really, folks, you got to be almost completely brain dead to buy the hoaxy story that a fertilizer truck brought down a reinforced concrete federal building such as the Murrah building. Come on. General Ben Parton of the United States Air Force testified in front of Congress that it was virtually impossible, and he proved it in photographs and scientific data that he provided Congress, and yet everybody was told that the fertilizer truck did it, and again, a lone individual, okay? And why is the evidence piled into a landfill that's under 24-hour-a-day guard? Why would you put 24-hour-a-day guard around a bunch of rubble from a building? Unless you're trying to hide something. So the beat goes on. You're being lied to, you're being deceived, and yet many people are just not truly aware of it. So again, before we get to the rest of the news items I have here for you, my little tribute to Colonel Don de Grand Pre is because he was a soldier. He was United States Army, even though he had a pilot's license, and so he got along very well with other members of the military, and particularly pilots. That's why he got involved in what happened on the 11th of September 2001, very quickly, him and many other retired staff-level officers. I'm going to read the back of the jacket here for Barbarians Inside the Gates, which is his first book. We are on the eve of a bloody revolution and martial law in the United States of America, or will it be World War III? Colonel Don de Grand Pre, while serving as an arms negotiator in the Pentagon, received a wake-up call from President Gerald Ford soon after the second attempt on his life. President Ford said, quote, "Something has gone terribly wrong in our country when a president can no longer walk among the people," end quote. This jarred Don from his heady pursuit of striving to become the world's leading arms peddler, for the United States, of course, disillusioned with our government's course, both at home and abroad, Don exited Washington, D.C. for his farm in Virginia, where he began an intensive program of research, which slowly unmasked a deadly Bolshevik peril to our republic. Hidden barbarians already inside the gates, an enemy totally dedicated to the destruction of our sovereignty as a nation-state and the enslavement or extermination of all who would block their despotic plans for world domination. Again, that's on the back jacket for Colonel Don de Grand Pre. There's a lot more information. His three books that he wrote can be found at Amazon.com. and elsewhere. He wrote other books too, but those were the three in the series about the barbarians inside the gate. Now, within a couple weeks of about 5 to 6 weeks after 9/11, Colonel Don de Grand Pre came on By Yahweh's Design, and he and I had a very, very interesting interview and chat about his history in the Army and how he became awakened to the barbarians that are inside our gates and what they're up to and what nationality they were, because there's one section here in the book starting on page 208 where he talks about who are the Khazars. And it's just funny, we have all this education today, and yet most people, you would ask them who are the Khazars, they wouldn't have any idea, and yet it was a very large nation state. Well, welcome back, gentlemen. I'm sorry about that, but some glitch happened here, and the phones were dropped offline for a few seconds, and then it took another few minutes to try to get logged back in with TalkShoe. Anybody listening there, if they would type into the window blog area there and let me know if the audio is okay, because I'm assuming it's back on. Yeah, that was really weird. That's the first time ever that I can remember that ever happening here. Anyway, let's continue on with our discussion of Colonel Don de Grand Pre. Again, the reason I like bringing him up is the fact that Don, at great expense to himself and placing him and his family in jeopardy, he became very outspoken about the barbarians inside our country. When I met General Ben Parton, he informed me that he was aware also of the infiltrators. But you can go all the way back to General Douglas MacArthur, because when he left Washington and left the commander as the commander-in-chief of the military back in the day, right after he invaded North Korea with a successful invasion of Incheon Bay, which, by the way, was successful because it was the first military operation of the Korean War where he did not tell his UN superiors what he was going to do. And so the communist North Koreans were unaware that he was going to attack at Incheon Bay, which was behind enemy lines, by the way. And it was successful. It was a very, very daring move. It took a lot of planning, but he swore his staff to secrecy, and they pulled off a very successful military operation. And his reward for that was that he was castigated by the White House, Truman at the time, who, yes, he was Jewish. Harry Truman, Solomon Truman, went after MacArthur and called him everything but a white man and pulled him off of his duty as commander of the military because he dared to defy the United Nations. So the bringing of the United States under domination of the United Nations started a long time ago. And when a great general such as MacArthur is basically stabbed in the back by the White House and the administration, it tells you a lot. So this has been going on for quite some time. And folks like Colonel Don de Grand Pre, when they became aware, did as much as they could to warn us about these things going on. You see, our military is put in great peril because of these New World Order types. They're using our military men and women as basically thugs around the world to implement their designs of world domination, and we're talking about the Zionists. They want to rule the world. That's why they cannot give up. You'll never see a solution to the immigration problem. You'll never see a solution to the banking problem. You'll never see a solution to our trying to police the world, because they cannot stop until they dominate the world and set up the headquarters in Jerusalem, because that's their plan. Jerusalem will be the headquarters and the center of governorship with the New World Order being in charge. You got to remember, Washington, D.C. is Tel Aviv West. So you got Tel Aviv, which is the capital of Israel, on the eastern side of the ocean. And on the western side, you've got Washington, D.C., which is Tel Aviv West. And I say that because it's predominantly Jews who control Washington, D.C. And if you don't think that's true, you just need to read the books of people like Don de Grand Pre and talk to people like General Ben Parton and many others, by the way. They're not just the only ones. They're two of the folks that I had the honor to speak with personally. But there are many other men and women in uniform who are outspoken about what's going on. Sergeant Steve Berry of the Special Forces, he and I had many discussions years ago. He was the author of a magazine called The Resister, in which he and other men and women in uniform wrote scathing articles talking about treason within Washington, D.C., and treason within the military. And people say, well, how can you say that? Well, I can say that because Barack Obama is still sitting in the White House, and he's not in prison, okay? If we had a true military and it hadn't been taken over by treason within the military, he'd be in jail right now because he's committed treason, outright treason. He's not the only one, but he's the latest one, okay? So people say, you know, oh, the military's fine and blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. Men like Don de Grand Pre would disagree if you read his books. And unfortunately, he passed in 2009 to our chagrin because he was a true patriot, a true warrior. And we bring him up again today because I personally challenge the men and women in uniform today to fill his shoes and men like him. They did not do what they did because of personal gain. They did not stay quiet because of fear. Don did the right thing and then put the consequences of his actions in the hand of God, which is exactly what General Stonewall Jackson said during the Civil War. Our duty is to do what's right and wrong. Our duty is to do what's right, and what the consequences of our actions are belong to God. Now, he said it in a much shorter little phrase than that, but paraphrasing it, that's what it means. As soldiers, as veterans, as Americans, our job is to do what's right and then let the consequences of those actions be in the purview of our Heavenly Father. So we honor him because, first of all, he was a great soldier. Second of all, he was a great man. And he did his best to warn his countrymen of the dangers within government and within the military here in the United States. He also not only gave interviews and talked to many, many people, but he also put in print. And I'm telling you about these books today because you should be on Amazon while they're still available and downloading them. I believe they're available for Kindle, but I'm not sure about that. I do know that there's PDF files of the books available. You can get hardbound copies at Amazon.com, and I'm sure there's other websites that have them also. But this personal copy I got from him, and he signed it and sent it to me shortly after his interview with me about what happened at 9/11. And the copyright date on the first book is in year 2000. So at the front, in the front of the book, he says, "For Pastor Dan John's friend and patriot, Colonel de Grand Pre, regarding 9/11/2001. So I keep that as a testimony of what great people do and what is needed for the salvation of our country and our people, that men like that have to stand up. They have to stand and take a stand against the communists who have infiltrated our country, because really that's what it's all about. General Douglas MacArthur made mention of it before he left office and stepped down from the military because of the harassment from Washington, D.C., and he told his second-in-command that something terribly wrong has happened in this country and to the military, and that he should continue the search to find out. John F. Kennedy, 2 weeks before he was assassinated, made a speech to the graduating class at Columbia University. And in that speech, he made the statement that the office of the president was being used to destroy America, that he knew who was behind it, and he was going to expose it. 2 weeks later, he was dead. And we know that was an inside job, too. And again, if you're one of those brain-dead morons out there that think that Lee Harvey Oswald did it with a single bullet, then you need to just tune into another channel because you're too damn stupid to deal with. That's being frank, okay? Anybody that knows anything knows that Lee Harvey Oswald did not pull that thing off. He certainly didn't do it with a single bullet. Any of you that have reloaded ammunition know what I'm talking about. There's no way a bullet goes through a car, another individual, the head of a man, and comes out looking like a bullet. But that's exactly what the Warren Commission put out there. I mean, that's how stupid we are today. We are so stupid that these idiots can hold up a bullet that's in the shape of a bullet and tell you on public television that this is the bullet that wounded a man, killed another man, and traveled through part of a car and still looks like a pristine bullet. That's how stupid we are. Those people that put together that Warren Commission should be in prison because it's lies. Instead, we let them give speeches and write books, just like William Jefferson Clinton should be in prison for treason. And yet he's giving speeches, and lately he was even given endorsements. A traitor, a liar, a misfit, like Bill Clinton, is giving endorsements? Well, the guy he was giving endorsements for is of the same mold, so I guess it fits in a way, if the public was smart enough to figure it out, but they don't. That's the problem. We've been dumbed down to the point where the Warren Commission can put complete trash out there and we buy it. Just like the commission on the Twin Towers, 9/11. It's all BS. You people buy it. Bush Jr. gets us into war in the Middle East all on fabricated evidence, so-called evidence, even though there was none really, of so-called weapons of mass destruction. We go to war, killing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Iraqis and other, quote, collateral damage victims. We do all that, and he's still walking instead of being in prison. He leads us into a major war where we have murdered hundreds of thousands of innocent people, and he's still walking. That tells you the state of the country. It also tells you the state of the brain power of the average American, which is zero, okay? The most media-driven people on the planet are Americans. Whatever the boob tube tells them, that's what they think. They think that's the truth. God forbid that they pick up a book and read it. God forbid that they stop playing their damn computer games for a few minutes and think, actually engage their gray matter for a few minutes to try to think through a problem or think through a situation and come up with a solution on their own. No, they'd rather turn on the idiot box and listen to some of these retards that do nothing but read off a teleprompter, but they look pretty and think that they're being educated or think that they have knowledge, when in fact all they've got is misinformation, and they walk around as if they're informed. Instead, they're idiots. And the rest of the world knows that. We are the laughing stock on the planet because I have friends and relatives who travel. So I get reports all the time about what people think about us, and they all admit that we are the dumbest. We truly are the dumbest people on the planet. Truly, truly stupid. It's just like people that say, Dan, you sound like a white supremacist. I said, I am. I think white people are the supreme idiots of the planet. There is no stupider race than white people. Really, they are. They are the dumbest people on the planet. So in that regard, am I supremacist? Yeah. Yep. They are supreme stupid. Why? Because God put them here in the form of Adamites a long time ago to be his administrators, to see that God's law is the law of the land. That's what our job was. And take a look at the world today. How good a job have we done? The whole world is in travail, just as the scripture says. The whole world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. What's that mean? Manifested. What's it mean? It means to be in charge. Step up to the plate. Take charge and stop letting these wicked, evil people rule the world. That's what it means. Are we doing our job? No. We're too busy watching football and playing games and video games, chasing women and drinking and doing drugs. That's what we're doing. We don't even give a moment's thought. On any given day, very little thought to the fact of what was God's purpose? What was his plan? You know, the word logos in the Greek language is interpreted in most Bibles as the word. When it says the Word was with God and God was the Word, etc., etc., where the word logos in Greek means two things, not just the Word, it also means the plan. It's where we get the word logic, logos, logic, meaning a intelligent plan. So those verses where you see that could easily be interpreted as the plan was with God from the beginning, and the plan is God. It's his plan. His plan will be done, whether we like it or not. So if you want to do right and you want to succeed in this world and prosper, you should get in touch with what the Father's plan is and become part of his plan instead of fighting against it. A lot of people say, well, I prayed for winning the lottery and I didn't win, so I don't believe in God no more. Wait a minute. First of all, our Heavenly Father is not a genie in a bottle. If you're thinking you're going to pray to God for stuff like that, you're just dumb. I'm sorry, you're dumb. That's not what it's all about. Read the book. Read the examples of when Christ walked the earth. He gave us examples on how to pray, didn't he? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You start out with giving honor and reverence to him, and you end with his will be done. His will, not yours, not mine, his will. That's the problem in this world today. We're running around like people are somehow smarter than the Father, our Creator, getting us in trouble, just like in that Joshua chapter 9 that we were reading about. Astrogoth says here, Dan, did you hear that sniper Chris Kyle was shot today? No, I did not hear that. So if anybody has news on that, then type it in here and we'll read it over the air. Oh, by the way, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is that I've been just contacted by a gentleman, a regular listener who lives in Russia. And he, on his own, is making arrangements to have these messages translated into the Russian language and making sure that the Russian people hear these messages. Years ago, I had a friend from Czechoslovakia who was doing the same thing, and he was having these messages translated into Slavic, Russian, German, and I believe French. And again, he was doing it on his own. So men like these guys, my friend over in, he's in England now, or he was, well, I should say he's in Ireland. He's in Ireland now, and my friend in Russia. These are the kind of men who are what I consider similar to Don de Grand Pré. They're becoming doers and not hearers only. We talked about the scripture that says that Yahweh says that the ones that are justified are what? Doers of the word, not just hearers. It's not good enough just to sit around and listen to the scripture and understand it sometimes. You're supposed to implement it. Implement it. Okay, I'm reading some notes here. That's why I've... Kurt put in here that he heard about Chris Kyle. Amazing that so many Navy SEALs are being murdered or disappeared. Well, if you remember, we had a whole helicopter full of Navy SEALs just sort of disappear right after supposedly bin Laden had been killed, which is another joke, another lie. Bin Laden had been dead for a long time, all right? You know, people, here's how dumb you are. When they go in under a ruse such as that, and they claim to have killed somebody that for some strange reason lives in a backward country where they ride camels and they hide in caves and we can't find them for years, I mean, we can see what the label on your underwear is from a satellite many miles above the earth, but we can't find a guy that lives in caves. And then all of a sudden they're going to take credit for finding him and killing him, but they're going to whisk his body onto a ship and bury him at sea. Okay, hey, children, because I'm talking to kindergarten students here, children, that's a first sign that there's malfeasance at play here, okay? You buried him at sea? Oh, here we go again. No evidence, no chance to rebut. Oh, okay. Does that mean then that it's the New World Order crowd probably behind it? I'd say it's a pretty good guess, wouldn't you? Yeah, right. We buried his body at sea. Go back to sleep, sheep. Continue watching your soap operas and all the other BS that you're involved in. and go back to sleep thinking that we made the world a safer place and that the idiot in Washington, D.C. had something to do with it, because he is an idiot, folks. A lot of people say, well, how can you get away with saying that? Because it's true. All right? It's true. People in Washington and even the spooks that listen in on the program, they know it's true. Anybody that's around the guy knows it's true. Especially anybody that's been to any of his speeches when the teleprompter broke. The man can't even finish a sentence. Okay? Have you noticed that? Or are you simpletons high on the handouts? Because that's the only people that think he's any good, are the people high on handouts. He's like Santa Claus. It's hard to be angry at Santa Claus, right? Because he brings all the gifts. I'll tell you, we're simpletons. Simpletons, simpletons, simpletons. Unbelievable. What do we got up here? Mark 3 put in here, 2 Enoch 31, verse 3, and the devil understood that Yahweh wanted to create another world because Adam was Lord on earth to rule and control it. Well, it's what he was put here for, but he has stopped doing it, just as the prophet said the day would come when Adam and Jacob would become the heel and the serpent and his people would become the head because of what? Our disobedience. But that's going to turn around, okay? That's the next phase. That's the good news. When Christ talked about the good news, he was talking about the marriage of his people back to him. Notice I said his people. Now, those people out there that want to think that everybody on the planet that walks on shoe leather are part of his people, you haven't read the scripture. You certainly haven't read the scripture, and you have not studied world history. Only one people is ever referred to as his people, and that's the lost sheep. There's only one people that's ever referred to. That's why he was referred to by the disciples as our kinsman redeemer. Now, the modern-day church world wants to tell you that's all spiritual. That's how they get away with it. See, they're just like the news media and the government today. When you don't want to answer a tough question, oh, that's spiritual. Oh, really? Spiritual. That's funny. In the Greek language, the way they wrote it, it wasn't spiritual. How come it's spiritual today? It wasn't spiritual to the founding fathers and to the pilgrims that came to this country carrying a musket, rifle, and a Bible. It wasn't spiritual to them. But now, today, it's spiritual. Yeah, we've been dumbed down and we're pretty stupid, so you can get away with saying most anything about what the past was and even what was done in the days of Christ. But the good news is Yahweh says that he will pour out his spirit upon the earth. And it also tells us in scripture that in the latter days, the hidden things would be made known. Look at archaeology today and the things that it's discovering that prove the Bible to be true. Even though the antichrists and the atheists are doing their damnedest to try to say it isn't. But it is. And even if you could destroy every Bible on the planet, do you think that does away with the Heavenly Father and his will? Do you think it does away with his ability to communicate with us? No, absolutely not. As I told you, the Bibles have only been with us for a few hundred years. Up until modern times in the printing press, most believers didn't carry a set of scriptures around with them. So you're going to tell me they're all in hell because of that? They had no idea what the Father wanted them to do because they didn't have a Bible to look at? No, he deals with his people. He can deal with them in many ways. He can communicate with us in many ways. So the scriptures are nice because they are from antiquity. They're the writings of our ancestors. They're often quoted by Christ himself, didn't he? Yeah. So Christ himself gave validity to the Old Testament writers. However, we don't have the same validity to some of the New Testament writers, because there are some of the writings in the, quote, New Testament that the church world likes to hang on to that are very, very doubtful. And in many cases, even the writings of Paul, which the church world relies on Paul way too much, because Paul in his own writings said, don't take my writings to be law. He himself said that. Don't take my writings to be law. He wrote letters. It'd be the same as me writing to a bunch of believers in Alaska, and 2,000 years from now, they dig them up and they try to claim that my writings to those churchgoers in Alaska somehow is new law to overcome the teachings of the prophets. Come on, people. That's ridiculous. Frank from Connecticut says, James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, to be doers. It is in James. It's also in other places in Scripture where it says to be doers and not hearers only. If I get a chance to jump into my collection of verses or the electronic Bible I have, I'll hunt it up for you. Astrogoth put in here that the flood was not global. It wasn't global. The flood was in a specific area, okay? That's why he could get the animals he needed onto the boat. If he tried to put two of the unclean and seven of the clean of every animal on the planet on a boat, do you know how big that boat would have to be? Come on, folks. Get real. So he put the animals of that region where the boat was, and it was in the western parts of China, between the mountain valleys, because that's where the cradle of civilization was at that time. And that's where the Israelites were at that time, what would be the Israelites, our ancestors. And so Noah and his family were the only ones found to be what? Pure. Well, that's a church word, tell you. Oh, they were spiritually pure. Oh, really? Okay. That's not what it says in the Hebrew or in the Greek, but if that's what you want to believe, then go right ahead. You know, the word tells us that you should be lovers of the truth. What did Christ say? He said, I am the truth and the way, didn't he? He said you should love the truth above all things. Isn't that what Scripture says? How many people do you know that actually live that? How many people do you know that actually seek the truth above all things? Not too many. We have a lot of people today that basically want what the Scripture calls tickling of their ears. The tickling of the ears means you get to hear things that make you feel good. Okay, that's what the church world does today. They make you feel good. There's not much truth in it, but it feels good. Okay, they're going to tell you how we're all brothers, and you know Christ died to save all men, and blah 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 blah. It feels good. I remember when my sister invited me to the Baptist church in Tampa. And I went there, and I said, well, why do you want me to go there? Oh, this is a good church. I said, okay, so I'll go, I'll sit in. And it was pleasant. There were a lot of smiling faces and very nicely dressed people, and they had a hell of a band, and they had talkers come up and give these inspirational chit-chats and all that. So it was a fun time, but when I got done, I asked my sister, I said, well, okay, let me ask you a quick question here. What did we learn in church today that I can apply to this sick and demented world we live in and how we're going to fix it? What did they talk about? I said, I didn't hear anything about the issues. I said, if you want to feel good, that's okay. As long as you understand, that's what it's doing. It's to make you feel good. But it's not going to teach you what Christ taught. As long as you understand that. He was serious about the issues. If you notice, the Scripture says that he always had a countenance of foreboding. Why was that? Because of the condition of mankind. Because he understood the truth. He, being the Father in a flesh body, that's what Christ was, Yahweh himself in a flesh body, he understood what he intended for us. And his countenance was forlorn because we weren't getting it. Remember the Scripture when Christ said that I've come here to be an example, a living example for you? Why is that? Because we weren't getting it. The prophets had written it, the elders were teaching it, and somehow we just weren't getting it. So he said, look, I'm going to come down there. I got to come down to fulfill my own prophecy and my own law anyway. And so I will be a witness. You'll see what living according to the laws of Yahweh is all about. Because you can just look at me. So again, folks, you have a tough decision to make as we're getting further into the latter parts of the age. Yahweh's judgment is right around the corner when he said, all that offends me will be destroyed. That's a pretty serious warning. I hope you're paying attention. When he says, all that offends me will be destroyed. I think it would behoove you to figure out what does he want. Because let me tell you something. You don't want to be on the list of offenders, okay? no matter what human beings threaten to do to you, it's not anything even close to what he can do to you, okay? By the same token, if you're part of the people that are doing the right thing, you could have no better ally in your corner than our Heavenly Father. What's the scripture say? One with Yahweh is what? A majority. If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? Have you read those verses? Or is it just you don't believe them? There's a whole lot of difference between reading and just acknowledging words versus putting them into effect in your life. That's why Christ told us that the true sign of a conversion to the Father is a changed life. That's your testimony to the world around you that you actually are, quote, a believer. If there's no evidence in your life, then kind of doubtful that there's been a, quote, conversion. See what I mean? So again, we want to thank the gentlemen overseas who are taking on the task with their own time and money to make translations of the messages to see that they go out. I wanted to see Mark 3 put in here, Matthew 15, verse 13, Christ said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Yes, amen to that. Okay, we do, for the folks overseas, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that we have a Second Amendment or a gun battle going on in the United States because the Antichrist, the communists, are threatening to try to take our weapons away. Of course, everybody that knows anything knows they don't have a leg to stand on. Constitutionally, they don't have a leg to stand on. Morally, they don't have a leg to stand on. Biblically, don't have a leg to stand on. Historically, don't have a leg to stand on. Okay, and now we see that 242 sheriffs out of the approximately 3,000 sheriffs, 242 have said that they will not allow any attempt by the New World Order to disarm the people in their counties. Praise Yahweh for those sheriffs. You need to seek those guys out and give them a pat on the back and let them know you have their backs. The sheriffs who are not on board with the protecting of the Second Amendment rights, they need to be given warnings. They need to be given warnings that we the people know who the communists are. And Yahweh has a very fitting end for the people that assist the atheist communists who try to take over this country. It's not going to be pretty. You know, right now it looks like they've got all the marbles and they've got all the things on their side, just as the scripture said it would be. In human terms, it looks like the New World Order is unstoppable. But that's in human terms. And we're going to refer back to Gideon now. When Gideon went to destroy the Midianites, they measured well over 100,000 soldiers, according to scripture anyway. And Gideon had like 10,000 or 12,000 men. That's all. And when he went to prayer to the Heavenly Father that he was getting ready to go to battle and ask for help, Yahweh told him what? You've got too many men. Too many men. And Gideon said, what? 12,000 against like 150 or 60,000? 10 to 1 or better odds? What do you mean? He said, you got too many men. He goes, I want you to send all the ones that are timid or afraid, send them home. I don't want them to be part of my army. So he sent them home, and he was down to, I think, 3,000, something like that. So then he said, that's still too many. So, yeah, these are all brave enough to do it, but are they smart enough? And that's when he took them down by the creek for a drink of water. And he watched the men that threw down their weapons and their shields so that they could put their face down into the water to drink, and he sent them home because they didn't have good common sense. The men that went down and kept their shield and their sword on and brought the water up to their mouth with the cupping of their hand, he kept them because they were smart enough to know you never, never, never lay down your arms. And you're always vigilant to watch for the enemy coming over the horizon. Because what's the one place where a bandit or somebody wanting to do evil, where is one of the places that they would hang out? The watering hole. Haven't you ever watched Discovery or National Geographic and the lions and leopards and all that? Where do they go to find prey? The watering hole. Everybody's got to have water. And what animals do they prey on? The ones that are dumb enough not to be looking for the predator in the weeds. And so Gideon took his men down to the creek for the exact same purpose, to figure out which ones were smart enough to know that you can never let your guard down. And you should not desire anything on this earth so much that you will disarm yourself for it. Are you listening, people? Let me repeat that. You should never seek anything on this earth so much so that you will disarm yourself to obtain it. And I'm talking about political favor, money, promises, entitlements, whatever the Antichrist is using to entice you, it's no different than those men at the watering hole. They were thirsty. But did God bless them because they just dove into the water? No. He blessed the ones that were smart enough to take little sips of water but kept their vigilance. You see what I'm saying? That could be applied at any time. That's a timeless principle. And so you've got these cretins in Washington and in some of the state capitals who are trying to tell you that they have a right to take your weapons away, that they can put pen to paper and all of a sudden your God-given right disappears. I'm here to tell you that's bull crap. They don't have the authority. They don't have the right unless you give it to them. And I'll stand like Joshua when he said, I don't care what you do this day, but as for me and my house, which is his way in biblical times of saying me and my family, we will make Yahweh our king and we'll do according to what he says. Because these cretins, these outlaws, who are in violation of the Constitution that gives them a right to sit in office, are traitors. Traitors to America, traitors to mankind, because they know once America falls, what the enemy plans to do to the rest of the people of this planet. So they are traitors not just to Americans and the American principle, they're traitors to all free people. Because once the communists take over, just read your history books, people. Read of the hundreds of millions of people that have died at the hands in the last century in the hands of the communists. They're not nice people. If they perceive you to be a threat to them in any way, shape, or form, they will exterminate you and your family. Or don't you simpletons get it yet? That's what's in store for you and your loved ones if they win. So again, never, ever surrender your firearms. We are developing a website. Many people for many years have asked me about that. I have had no leading of the Holy Spirit to do that till now. So we are going to set up a website where I will post information. I will stop very shortly sending out letters, notices, emails, etc. I'm simply going to put what I think is pertinent for the sheep today on the website, and then you can go and peruse it at your will instead of me trying to educate the other way around. We'll also put great articles and tributes to men such as Michael Gaddy, who's doing great work in constitutional teachings out in the Four Corners area, and he's a terrific writer. We will put things such as tributes to men like Don de Grand Pre and Colonel Namella, and General Ben Parton, and the many other officers who are willing to stand up and speak. If I can get a hold of Stephen Berry again, I will see if he'll come back on the air or at least be a contributor. I'm seeking out people that will post on the website, and so far I've had very good responses. So keep that in prayer for us as we continue to go forth and try to set up the website. Also, I want to let you know that Pastor Eli James, his book, The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World, is available in Kindle format now. It can be downloaded onto your Kindle machines, and it's a lot cheaper to do it that way. So a listener to the program informed me of that, and so you need to take avail yourself of that tremendous book. Eli spent a lot of time and effort to put that book together. I was honored to be part of the group of people that he had do proofreading and editorial comments. And so I was very familiar with it, and then he presented me with a gift copy of it when it was finally printed. So it's a great teaching and resource book to have on your shelf. So again, The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World by Pastor Eli James. You should avail yourself of that. Our Ezekiel 37 army continues to awaken. I do want to have you understand, though, because some people were disgruntled that only 242 sheriffs out of 3,000 stood up and made bold proclamations of their resistance to this attack on the Second Amendment. I want you to remember something. That's already better odds than Gideon had. Remember, Gideon ended up with only 300 men. 300 men against well over 150,000. 300 men, and they won without a single casualty. So, if it's only 242 sheriffs that understand their constitutional obligations to we the people, then that's 242 that'll be just like Gideon's people. And those other remaining sheriffs, well, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes for all the tea in China, to be quite honest. Their end game is not going to be a pretty one. All they got to do is look at history and what the communists do to the useful idiots. That's what they call people like that, useful idiots. Look what they did to them. All right? And if those remaining sheriffs want that for their family and loved ones, shame on them. I don't want to be associated with it. I want to be associated with the 242 sheriffs that know what's going on and have some kind of integrity, because that's the kind of people that Gideon would have put in his army. That's the kind of people we want in our army. We don't want the other ones. Let them go. This is Yahweh's way of calling out those that are fit for survival and those that are fit for the fire. It's his call, Yahweh's call. The fire's coming. Are you prepared? That's the thing you need to worry about. Okay, with that, I'm going to sign off. It's time to close for today. I want to pray Yahweh bless you, guide you, strengthen you, give you a stiff backbone, give you discernment so that you can see through the lies and deceptions. May he give you the spirit of encouragement and courage to go forth and do the right things. May he take away any spirit of fear that you may have. And always, Father Yahweh, we ask for your protection against those, our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah. Yeah.
hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. These we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers, we must stand and face this enemy within, and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part.